60% chance of some wet weather. All right, we'll monitor that. Back after this, live from Oakland.
At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder. And stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse.
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at Belmont.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. Hour three. Thanks to Sid. And I'm seeing already, I just got our man, Equine Paparazzi, noting on he didn't know either that there was a secondary market for the first time. Huh? See? That's the beauty. You go wandering around and you, you stumble into things you didn't know existed. I hope... Speaking of things you didn't know existed, the stakes on on Saturday at Sam Houston, a lot of you didn't know it existed because we couldn't bet on it. Let me give you those results. The Jim's Orbit. I'm a cowboy for Danny Pish and GFB Racing. This is a homebred of theirs, a Braidster. That actually romped at 9-2 was what 1-2 was fourth choice, paid 11.20. The Asmussen Hollingbrot favorite, even money, bling bling bling, passed and I'm a cowboy drew off. Very nice. This is a horse actually that won at first asking for Pish. And then, you know, it's been cashing checks. But this was a nice step forward. In fact, let me look figure-wise. I'm curious now. Figure? Yeah. Career best. Well, almost. Just underneath. The career best actually came in a defeat at Delta in an open company allowance, a 63 buyer, but a 62 for I'm a Cowboy. And is that Angel? Angel, right? Angel Contreras? Aboard. All right. Sunlit Song wins the Houston Turf for Mindy Willis. Breeder Carolyn Barnett and partner Becky Harding. In fact, they ran 1-2. How about that? Stewie Elliott aboard Sunlit Song. And then Truly Danzig at 5-1 was second with Goncalves. And Carolyn Barnett and Becky Harding as well. So what a nice 1-2 for them. There was a lot of that went on this weekend, right? Brad had one, and Brendan Walsh, or Godolphin, actually. Not it was two different. It was different, you know, owner. But there was something else too. I think there was another one that I noticed. In the two Altozanos, there was Is It Tiz. Yeah, this for David Gomez, a Billy Clevenger homebred. My Golden Song, who, you know, my Golden Song, he gets his share. He gets his share of winners. So, this is a horse that is coming off the barrel last win, too, in the mud. Fast track on Saturday, though, at Sam Houston. Is It Tiz. Out of a Tiz Now Mare. Then there was also the My Golden Song winner, Gold Pilot. Just under, Is It Tiz was 2-1, by the way, 2-1 favorite. Just under even money, Gold Pilot, Brett Calhoun, Sanders and Hirsch. This one, of course, figured. Jose Alvarez. Nice number here, too. 85 buyer for him. Second start of the year for the six-year-old. Had won an allowance, a money allowance, in January. And finally, in the Miss Blue Bonnet Turf, Valdez Jimenez for Karen Jacks. And this for Carl Moore Management, and I'm a Lucky Charm. My Golden Song, I have a Street Boss mare, bred by the Ellerbys, Ron and Margaret Ellerby. I'm a Lucky Charm, wire to wire at 5-1. Favorite, Nomas Tequila, could not get, and this was also this was also a Karen Jacks exacta. Because owner James Sills and Jax have Nomas Tequila. Was making up ground, but could not get to the winner. They were 6-5 versus the 5-1. So a, let's see, a $12.10 Karen Jax exacta. So there was another, there was a bunch of these this weekend. That's pretty funny. Couple of others. Let me, before we get Seth Merrow in here, we did discuss that with Andy, right? Yesterday, he gave us a kind of a quick overview on the cross country, but the train to Artemis, you know, who's now in the hands of Kelly Breen. Claimed off of Safi Joseph. And of course, actually, you know, there's a Ramsey bred that they plucked. And he's a nice, you know, he's just a nice, useful sprinter. 85 buyer. The big performance, though, was definitely Kerry Raven with that Chess Master at 7-1. 1580. And she owns Chess Master, 7-year-old, winning the Turf Dash. The Lightning City was the train, was the filly and mare race. So this one, an overdriven gelding. And I'm pretty sure that Nick, right? Didn't Nick? Yeah, because I've had a circle around Chessmaster. So Antonio Gallardo aboard. So I can clear. I'm just going through and getting. Let me get all of this out of here. We'll save that for some Oaklawn conversation tomorrow. As a follow-up, let me do this too. As a follow-up on the Laurel front. Get this out of the way. The rest of the action, obviously, we talked and really enjoyed the talk about Eastern Bay with Will Humphrey winning the General George. And factor it in, took all the money in here. Went off at under 3-2. That seemed seemed pretty aggressive. And had, you know, had won the Dave's Friend and the Fireplug. And had actually, you know, I was going to say, maybe the distance affect the idea of 7/8, but he'd won twice in five tries previously at 7/8, so that's not an excuse. But Eastern Bay, that was a sweet win. I told you, I did talk to you about swaying to and fro for Mario Saray and Baxter Racing. This was the one that Gorey Smith had bred. The other races that we did not discuss, Hybrid Eclipse in the Nellie Morse for Brittany Russell and Stu Grant. Bruce Kravitz and Tom Coulter, Nimitz Class, the Munnings that won the John Campbell, the Miraclewood Coffee with Chris. Beat Prince of Jericho at 1-2. John Saltzman and some partners, Fred Wasserloos and Tony Garuso, and Stonewall Star. I think I did. Maybe I did mention those. All right, but let me. I'm determined. The one race I'm looking for, I'm not finding, which is funny, and not unusual either around these parts. Let's. No, I'm looking for the. I wanted to slip in the Turfway race. Here's Oaklawn. Nope, unbelievable. It's amazing that whenever I need something or have something, but you know, particularly in mind. But when I'm traveling like this, it's hard with all the paper that gets, frankly, that gets generated. No, I all right. So instead of me fumbling around here looking, I'm going to go to a different resource so that I can mention the Dusk Commander Maker. An Ocean Atlantique, 99 buyer here, wire to wire, and we did infer this the other day with Brad Cox, or was that with Kenny? Was that Kenny's horse? Yes, it was Kenny's horse, Camp Hope. That's right. And also, one of the other things that made me think of this was the mention about Paulo Lobo having a horse involved Saturday. The Larry Best here at in the Rebel event detail, and so notable here because In Love did not really run great, the veteran 7-year-old for Paolo, and Beatbox went favored at a little over 3-2, so 9-1 almost for Ocean Atlantique. And there were some nice mutuals in this. So all right, so that's that, and that kind of we'll save that register. There we go. Oaklawn, we'll catch with we got Vic tomorrow to do some Thoroughgraph, and I'm sure we'll actually talk about Saturday as well with him. And yeah, we got the Brad Cax. Oh, that's a horse I should have brought up with Sid. Now that I'm thinking about it, the West Homebred. This has got to be that heroic move that broke the maiden. The Quality Road Colt. I'm sure Sid had a hand in that one, right? And there was also Saturday Nautical Star. Interesting. Nathaniel Quinones. A Dixie Chatter. Oklahoma bred. How about that? Coming here. And, yeah, and beating some very pricey types. That had to be a thrill. Nautical Star, who debuted well here, and wins from the 12 hole, going six. This is what a nice win. Got to look up the number on that, because this was there were some fancy horses in here, including Rudy Brissett with the Hertrick Fielding $500,000 Windstar Sienna product, the debuting Mulligan. Who got beat a nose in here at just under 4-1, and Miracle Worker, another Gary and Mary West, out of Talk Show, the Into Mischief homebred. So this that's a notable win. This was also the race with Simovic, right? Yeah, I'm glad I came to this. This is a notable upset. I'll tell you, for you know, Quinones, only has a handful of starters. That's a nice win. All right, and of course we're also trying to we'll save Last Samurai, and there was one other maiden winner on that card, the Archie Bred. They keep running an Archie Bred maiden race at the end of these cards. Doughty with Martin Garcia, 15-1. How about this superfecta? Did you see this? That's why one of the reasons I saved this. The 10-cent super paid $2,854. 15-1 over 32-1 over 17-1 over 45-1. This was the race that you had that 1-5 falter. Yeah, watch this birdie. Yeah, the Nacho Correas. Yeah, Arkansas bred that it had debuted at Colonial last year. It was up front and folded. So, $277 exacta, $2,021.50 try, and a $2,800 10-cent super. Yeah, so congrats to anybody that was able to get a part of that. All right, there you go. I think that's everything. I can pretty much. Wow. Well, I'll save the Fairgrounds card because that's one of those cards you save. I put them in binders and it piles up, to say the least. Okay, so Seth, I think is ready. Good. All right, so let me get Seth. I'm looking forward to. I'd reached out today also to for those that didn't see Tyler Whitsum's. He had an interesting thread yesterday. He was talking about Derby and some potential, for Derby weekend, ideas that he's kind of floating for wagering options, and he's always got a very thoughtful approach. But also, we've been hinting that we're going to get Tyler on to talk about his thorough pace product that he's created, and he's been letting everybody download and look at the information and get acclimated. So I want to give him a chance to to publicize it. We've got so much respect for anybody that that puts this kind of effort in to create something to help players, and they deserve to, obviously, they deserve to, you know, have that opportunity. So we'll get Tyler on, all right, either tomorrow or soon, because I the timing's right. But if you didn't see his thread, there's some very interesting ideas, and he always has something thoughtful. All right. I've got an assault here of half a dozen. I can see. I'm going to have a busy off as soon as I get done today. I've got half a dozen things to handle. All right, let's get Seth Merrow aboard, and assuming he's ready for us, and because we didn't talk to Seth last night, I put Seth off. He must have been annoyed at me, because I'm sure he knew that I was in New Orleans, and yet he did not come to me for a boots on the ground report Sunday.
The phone was a little funky on Saturday, so I was a little reluctant. So, but I was annoyed. Who could be annoyed at Mr. Big? So, but that was you. I thought of you, and then I thought, we'll wait. Maybe check in for a little Oaklawn, maybe.
All right. Well, I better check my. I don't know what time I fly. Actually, I leave Sunday for California.
Yeah, I'll check with you.
All right, but you've got. All right, because your next opportunity, I guess it'll probably be all right Sunday. I can't imagine I've got an early flight out of Little Rock.
Where do you fly out of?
Little Rock,
Memphis?
Actually. No, Little Rock.
Okay.
When I'm going, okay. Well, it's one of the oddities of coming here. I drove from New Orleans, but in one of the strangest airline oddities, among many, you can fly here west to east, but you can't fly here east to west. It's virtually impossible to get here from New York, from Albany. I'll fly Memphis, and I like going to Memphis anyway. But when I come to or from California, it's easy for whatever reason. It's just strange. I find it much more difficult to get here if I'm moving east to west.
Yeah, I know everybody talks about, you know, the one visit I made, I visited my sister up in the northwest part of the state, so I just drove down, but I know people who fly in are always saying essentially what you're saying. You know, you got to work it out to get there.
Well, you know, speaking of which, travel to Hot Springs, this was a very strange drive. I talked about my stop, which was really cool in Natchitoches, but the last time I felt like I was coming here, you know, at an angle. I was on certain roads yesterday where when I got to Arkansas, suddenly I was actually heading east. I came in on the southern border of Arkansas and then started to angle up north and east. And so I guess just the way the interstate runs, and I didn't go that way last year. And you know, when you're coming from Memphis, of course, you're just coming across, you know, east to west. So this felt weird when I, you know, and you no longer look at road atlases. I mean, you use, you know, using Waze. I mean, I like maps. I mean, I still have, Tina thinks I'm crazy. I will not throw out from my salesman days on the road. I've got a plastic container with probably 35 maps. that I used for years. I mean, when you were driving someplace and you didn't, you know, for those of you that don't know what a map is, right?
Absolutely. I was thinking about that just the other day because I was going through some storage containers and ran across some maps. And for my old job going back, I used to drive around this area and I videotaped homes for sale and went inside and shot the rooms and that type of thing. And so it may have been before you were in the area, but there was Jamapco.
Oh, sure.
That did local, you know, city maps.
Yes.
And I had a whole slew of those, and those were great. And Jamapco was I'm forgetting his last name, but he was Freddie Fryhoff originally. And that was definitely before your time, but you might have heard of the old Freddie Fryhoff show locally. And Fryhoff, of course, the baker in the area. And the Freddie Fryhoff show was local every afternoon. Kids who had a birthday would come in and bring their buddies, and you would have a Fryhoffer cake, and Freddie Fryhoffer was the host in the Fryhoffer uniform. But Uncle Jim Fisk was played Freddie Fryhoffer. Well, he was Uncle Jim Fisk on the show, but he eventually, that show ended. He founded Jamapco, and so he was the head of that company. There's a little local history.
I love it, and that is, I mean, I've heard the reference, and I went to, at Colgate, there was a Fryhoffer child that was at Colgate.
Oh, wow.
And there was also I'm pretty sure, one of the mats when I was at Colgate, too. The FX Matt Brewing Company, of course, Matt's and Utica Club, and now Saranac, but... we had and all my friends went. I never went. But in Hartford, for those of you that grew up in Hartford, you know where I'm heading with this. There was the Hap Richards show. Hap Richards. I'm sure, you know what? I've never looked at this on, I probably should look on YouTube. I think everybody had these, right? I mean, had the local, you know, the local children's show, and you would bring... You know, you get brought there as a kid in the studio audience and play the games and you know, a clown typically with balloon folding. Right?
Yeah. The big thing on the Freddie Fryhoffer show, squiggles. So the birthday kid would get up and there'd be a big pad of paper and you just take a marker and you just, you know, make any kind of mark on the page you want. And Uncle Jim Fisk would turn it into something. Amazingly.
Wow. Well, wow. The cartoon, there'd be a cartoon. Well, basically the best children's show of all, which is Pee-wee's Playhouse. I mean, was the greatest parody ever of all of those children's shows, which were just hysterical. The this I have spoken about. And I still don't. And it's funny. Whenever I bring it up, somebody writes me and reminds me, the Hap Richards show was on, like, you know, 3:30 to 4 o'clock weekdays, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. There was a show. There was a cartoon, not a cartoon, but a live action serial that they would run, and the characters were all like hamsters and chipmunks and squirrels and, you know, little furry rodents, bunnies, and they were like all trained, and there was like a hamster or a guinea pig that looked like Judge Smales with a and he drove like a boat. He had a motorboat, and I wish, no matter what times I bring this up. It was like Tales from the Lily Pad or something along those lines. It was, I just remember being unbelievably enchanted as a child by it. And yet.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big thing then, the afternoon show with the cartoons. There would be a lot of local places had the old Skipper and that type of thing. But those have completely disappeared. I mean, those disappeared 40 years ago.
Well, kids, for those of you that missed out on local children's television, well, certainly everybody has seen Mrs. Doubtfire, right? That's an allusion to that era of children's television. I mean, that was Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales. That's right.
The Soupy Sales
show? I would guess that Soupy Sales probably, there has to be some Soupy Sales on YouTube, I would have to imagine.
Oh, no doubt. And for those that have never heard, I mean, he was very funny. And of course, he ruined his own career by by suggesting that children go, he was on like Saturday mornings, like at 8:30, and he suggested kids sneak into their parents' bedroom and take money out of daddy's wallet. It did not go over well with management, and send Soup, a $5 bill out of your parents' wallet. Oh my God. See, Seth, they don't know what they missed out on.
No. It was a different era. And once the show got over, you actually had to get up out of your chair and walk across the room and turn a little nap. Hard to believe now. And there were only three choices.
Well, and that makes me, there was that ridiculous thing, that Winky Dink, where you would put a piece of plastic on the TV and some kids just started drawing, remember that?
I just read about that. That was not in my area, but I have read about that. And yeah, that was, from as I understand it, it was a disaster because like 90% of the kids didn't understand the piece of plastic first. And so
yeah,
there was a marking pen on a lot of TVs.
Yes. How we went down this road, I have no idea.
Well, to get back to Maps and...
There we go. That's your fault.
Maps and Oaklawn. I went the opposite way you did. The trip I made, I left for my sisters, went to Oaklawn, then drove to Fairgrounds, and then wound up on that trip down at Tampa. But I did the Oaklawn to Fairgrounds overnight. So I don't even remember the... It was dark, so I don't remember. I know I was out in the country for an awful lot of it because this was before the cell phone days, and I thought, I hope I do not break down out here.
Well, that it's funny you say that because last night, both last year and this drive, when I started to angle closer and closer off of the highway. There are some really windy roads, and actually, I even came in on the backside of Lake Hamilton, which surprised me. I was like, what direction am I coming in? Because that's 2 years in a row. I think I came in the same way last year, and actually, it was convenient last year because Rick Hammerly was staying out by the lake. I had to come a little further into town, but this all stems from not pulling out an atlas before a trip, and there isn't anybody of whatever age, I would say probably over 40, I guess, that if you were on the road selling, I mean you had that bound road atlas in the back seat.
Oh, and there were the days where you'd go into AAA and you tell them where you were going and they give you the triptych, which was a long thin map with your route kind of in marker, and you just flip the pages as you went down the length of the page. That used to be a great option as well that I used many times.
That's interesting that you bring up the triptych because I do remember maybe twice. I think twice I can think of. We went on road trips and my father actually got triptychs, but not regularly. It was not something that that he would typically, I think maybe once when we went to Pennsylvania Dutch country, perhaps, and then another trip maybe further in toward Virginia. For the two sons, we would have AAA for them, but I never had really joined AAA. And it's funny because my father had a shtick. He said, whenever you got behind a driver that was a crappy driver, invariably they had the AAA sticker on the bumper. That was my father's theory. Look at this, another asshole with a AAA sticker.
Well, I drive, like I said, I used to drive all the time. And driving all the time, I had the AAA just in case you broke down. But I never put the sticker on my car.
Well, see, because you're not an asshole. I'm telling you, I haven't thought about that in years. But 100% said that was him. He said, look at this guy. Well, and you know, it's funny. I will say two things on this. There has been, I mean, society may very well be unraveling right in front of us. Two things regarding driver deportment. This phenomenon of people sitting in the left lane.
Oh, don't get me started.
Let me tell you something. This is bizarre to me that, you know, we grew up and we were instructed you use that lane to pass and then you get over. The people that are in this era that are just sitting, tooling along in the left lane, it's unbelievable. And then the other phenomenon is people no longer having the courtesy to turn down their brights on dark roads. They're like, oh, okay, too bad. If you go off the road and hit a tree, that's not my problem. It's unbelievable.
Now, the left lane is just bizarre when people just go out there and that's like, well, here's where I am. That's where I'm driving.
Uh-huh.
And you get up behind them and you're kind of like, okay, I'm right behind you now. How about you pull over? Now? Nope, they're not moving. And what's worse is when you're on a three-lane road, there are options. Well, six-lane highway, three lanes on your side. There are options usually. But on a road like a throughway near us or some portions of the Northway, where you have two lanes and the person pulls into the passing lane and then for 5 miles goes the same speed as the car on their right.
Uh-huh.
It's like, pass or don't pass, but get out of everybody. Eventually there's a line of 12 cars behind.
Uh-huh.
And you just kind of think, haven't they looked in their mirror and kind of figured this out?
I can be patient up to a point. Tina has no patience, and she does most of the driving when we're together. She goes berserk. I mean, she would like a cow catcher on the front of the car.
That's a good idea.
To essentially just push them off. She would. I mean, she's got a lead foot like you cannot believe. It's frightening, and I put her in my car, in my Impala, you know, which has got the V6, and I'll look up, she's going 103, it's unbelievable, and I'll look at her, the car drives so nice, I didn't know. Yeah, she didn't know. This is also true. She never gets a ticket whenever she gets stopped. Locally in Washington County, she basically, anybody that stops her, she taught them. Or she taught their nephew, or she taught their, you know, their grandson. It's unbelievable. And then she laughs at me. They're not giving me, I'm not getting a ticket. What if they do stop me? Let them stop me. I'm not getting a ticket. Okay. That's unbelievable. It's, and you know, and then when I'm driving, she's like, why are you going so slow? I said, because I didn't go to school. She says, well, don't worry. If you get stopped, they'll see that it's me. Oh, hi, Mrs. Luke. Okay. It's unbelievable.
I have to go to speed limit because I always think this is unfair. My work route takes me by troopers 8 times a day going down the north way. You know, a lead foot may have a route to work where there are just no police whatsoever. They can go up every day I go past 8 troopers going down the north way, down and up. So I have to stay within.
Yeah. You're not talking your way out of anything.
No. There is no shot there.
In fact, you're a candidate to show up on a viral video. They'll be dragging you out the window of the cut out of
the. No, when I get a ticket, they're always very accommodating in that they list like 3 other things they could have put on the ticket, but they're doing me a favor by giving me the speeding ticket.
Exactly.
It's like, come on.
Exactly. That's my ticket. Every time I go on the Taconic, I get a ticket. It's unbelievable. Because the Taconic is so much fun to drive. You know, I mean, it's windy and up and down and undulating and all that. And as a result, you know, your tendency is to, you know, is to really go fast. And I end up getting a ticket. Although one time, years and years ago, this is funny, when I was working for, I must have been working for Dan and Yogurt. And I had bought a very sporty car, the most sporty car I ever bought, which was a Bonneville SSE, the low slung, looked like the Batmobile. It was awesome. It's the first time I ever drove somewhere, and I saw that car, Seth, and I said, I've got to have that car. I've got to buy that car. So I went to Scranton Motors in Vernon, and I bought that Bonneville SSE, and I'm coming back from Albany, probably a sales call to John's Dairy, probably in Albany, and I'm flying up and down, you know, Taconic, and I mean, the SSE was great, you know, hugging the road. And I come over a rise. There's a trooper. He puts the rollers on, and I pulled over right away. And so he comes up to the car. He's like, This is the Bonneville SSE, right? I said, yeah. He says, oh my God, I had to see it, and he didn't write me a ticket. He said I wanted to see it, and so I said, here, come sit down. So I got out of the car, I let him sit in because the dashboard was like an airplane, and he sat in the dashboard. He's like, do you love it? I said, oh my God, it's great. And he talked to me for, I think we opened the hood. It was the funniest thing ever.
When I was a kid, this is like high school day, and I'm guessing that, you know, it was a Friday night. It's me, a bunch of the kids in the back of the car, and I'm guessing he just wanted to stop us and see what we were up to or something. But the cop, the lights go on, and I'm like I say, it's me and 5 other kids in the car. He comes up to the window and talks for a little bit. He goes, yeah, we're looking for somebody who looks kind of like you. Can you kind of put your hand up to your face and just hold your chin for a second? And I do, and he goes to his partner. I don't think this is the guy, right? And they're like, no, that's not the guy. Okay, all right, you guys go. So it's like, there was something up here. Like I said, I think he wanted to stop us and just check us out. The whole, put your hand up to your face and you look like somebody. Come on. But they let us drive away, thankfully, because had they searched closely, it probably wouldn't end.
That's funny. That is funny. I've had minimal, other than the occasional traffic mishap. I can't complain.
I also had a cop pull up behind me, myself and a young lady out on a country road. He thought we'd found a quiet spot and had a sheriff pull up.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. My God, that's like American Graffiti, right? That's...
Oh, my God. So just doing what comes naturally? Thanks, officer. go on your way. Thankfully, there was no... It was brief.
Well, I don't know. We meandered into the woods. Let's put it back on track to close out the morning set. I've been a little punchy all morning, frankly, from the drive from New Orleans. But there is some action today, and I guarantee you looked at something in Florida.
I did. I got maybe an idea of Tampa and a couple over at the Gulfstream. And just heads up for folks who tune in, I'm off the next couple of days, actually, because I was in on Monday. So get the holiday and I'm back in on Friday. But the pics are up on the website, as always. Over at Tampa, what was this? I want to say it was the second race. I had something at Tampa. Yeah, there it is. Race number two at Tampa. Lower level conditional claimers. You know, I'm just going by the morning line here, but I think if you get the 7-2 on Liking It Twisted, I think that's a good price. A horse coming off a win, one condition below. You know, I don't think it's a big leap up, and I think the horse did it in a fashion that says this is not going to be an obstacle. But a high percentage trainer, high percentage jack. That's why I say. I'm kind of basing on the morning line of 7-2. I mean, if this starts to come down a few ticks, it's maybe not as attractive because, you know, Gerald Bennett has a horse in here who's going to take some action. Barbara, I think, is a competitor. But if you get the 7-2, I'm Liking It Twisted or, you know, in that vicinity, that one's a little bit interesting. Tampa second, I have it 7-2-6. Over at the Gulfstream, the turn, I got something. Start out in the third. Horse called Mo Dazzle. Again, morning line is 4-1. And I realize this is not a first time starter, but I always look at those stats to get ideas on the, you know, how win early talented the horse might be. And the sire here, first time starters for Outwork last year, 65 first time starters, 13 winners, 3 seconds, 7 thirds. So again, kind of signals win early types. This one hasn't quite lived up to it yet, but there was a sibling called Macho Macho that was sixth and then won the second start. Sibling called Hug It Out that won its debut. So there is definitely win early top and bottom. And I say a lot, you know, the, they might not get it done bingo bango, but if you kind of follow along a little bit, maybe they break through if things change up. This one stretched out last time, but now cuts back. Irad Ortiz on board. And again, 4-1 on the morning line. If that holds up, I think that's very interesting. So in the third at Gulfstream, I'm 7-6-2, and that's 7 Mo Dazzle. A little bit intriguing in the eighth. Let me adjust my pages here. Eighth race this afternoon at Gulfstream. We are looking at State Bred Allowance Runners going 7. I'm going to go with Gervin Girl. I think it's a race where they're all fairly evenly matched, and Gervin Girl is 8-1 off a pretty good looking debut effort. Gervin very good with debut runners. I will say the siblings haven't been so much so far, but this one looked pretty good in debut, and I think matches up very nicely with the rest of this field. And I think there are a couple others in here because of connections and whatnot that may take some action. I'm not sure the 8-1 will hold up, but I think we'll get some value here for a horse that ran well in debut. I'll take a little pop on this one to string a couple together at, you know, again, what I think will be an okay price. So I have it in the eighth at Gulfstream, 3-2-1-5. And then finally, I'm going to swing, at least via the morning line, I'm going to swing in the ninth at Gulfstream. Higher level conditional claimers going a mile on the turf. I have it 8-7-4-2. Father Glado or Glado, 20-1 on the morning line. Stepping out of some optional claiming company, and the last was the first start off a little bit of a late season layoff. Hadn't been seen since August and came back in December. And it was not much of an effort, but maybe had a little fitness there. Javier Castellano on board today. just look at this field. I think it's going to fit nicely with these conditional claimers. Obviously, the Jimmy Toner horse, you know, with the way folks play the buyers, that horse will take a lot of action. Master of the Senate, Hey Mac, It's Jack, also with some buyers that stand out a little bit against this bunch. So I think there are horses that definitely will take some action. I just thought Second Start back off the layoff. Castellano hops on board for a train who does pretty well. I think it will pop with the price in here, Father Glad, on the 9th at Gulfstream. I have an 8-7-4-2.
Nice. All right. Just sort of
fun. We'll see. Trying to make the magic happen.
You've got plenty of track record.
Oh, by the way, you know, we talked about Oaklawn, and I hope we didn't scare people away as we talked about. You know, can be a little tough to get there because it is worth the trip. I'm envious of you. I've only made the one visit, but I really liked it, and everyone I have talked to since who has made the trip has really enjoyed it. I think it's kind of Saratoga-ish in the way the town embraces the track. I definitely think it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, that part of it, we'll talk tomorrow and Friday, certainly. Starting to pour down rain here. Yikes. Holy cow.
Oh, wow, I can hear it in the background.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This came out of nowhere. It's been overcast all morning, but this is like a squall that unbelievable. All right, so be it. we'll talk plenty the next couple of days. And every time we've come here, that's been the theme is just how how much. Like Saratoga, it is in regards to the way, you know, everywhere you go, everybody's reading the form and everybody's talking about the races and they're coming to or from the races. It's, you know, it's very special on that front. And that's one of the real charms. I mean, they live for it here. You know, the way we do at home, the way we do it, you know, in Saratoga, just, you know, everything, the season, now the season here is much longer. They've kind of changed the format, you know, with this December to May, you know, but they live and breathe the game here.
Yeah, and you know, there's the parking in the neighborhood or near the track, and as you say, everybody's kind of plugged into it. Where even if you aren't at the track, people are still talking. Hey, I played this in the double, or I'm playing that tomorrow. And it's fun. I mean, it's a throwback, and you know, I mean, there are more similarities as well. Hot Springs and Saratoga Springs, they were both kind of founded on the same idea, and both had those casinos early on.
Yeah.
Before they were kosher, and so there's a lot of history there as well, a lot of you know, twin type of history, but it's a lot of fun, and I definitely enjoyed my visit, and so I would recommend if people are kind of checking tracks off their list, you definitely want to put Oaklawn on the list.
Well, and you know, it's so funny I guess it's because of the relatives that, and those trips that you would make to Albuquerque and here and I, for whatever reason, I always had this impression that you were here all the time. I don't know why. I just.
Well, the thing is, it's a haul from you know, my sister's is up near Fayetteville, and it's a pretty good drive down there. Otherwise. And typically, the times of year I visit her, I'll visit her in the summertime or maybe at Christmas time. And really, wasn't until recently, Christmas time, they take that break at Oaklawn now.
Now
so
they do,
I'm typically down in Arkansas, at kind of the wrong times of the year. Or I probably would take the ride down.
Well, you got to get back here, and I've been coming now. Gosh, I'm gonna guess that this is what, the 3 years with Hammer. And the 2 years before that, so this will be my sixth straight year. Happy as always to be here. Seth Merrow, everybody, and no Seth on TV for a couple of days, but he'll be back for the weekend. Seth, thanks a lot. Talk to you from California next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Have fun. Travel safe. And I plug Nancy in quite a bit during the season, so say hello to Nancy when you see her for me, and have fun.
I will. Nancy Holtis, of course. Send you out into the race day with armed with some plays from Seth. And back tomorrow, and we'll have live guests. A little bit more of a formal kind of a day here with Clinton Stewart. And we'll talk some breeding, and I think Vic is going to be by, and much more. All right. Thanks to Seth and Sid and Dick Powell. Had kind of a individual one each these 3 hours. Good luck to your plan. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. And I'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry.